Would you lift your hands with me and let's love the Lord together? Father, we love you tonight. We adore you and magnify you tonight. We give you all the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. What a great, great conference we are enjoying 1997 because of the times. Started off Monday night, the speakers and sponsors gathered at Brother Anthony Mangan's house. I've been privileged to be a part of that for 3 or 4 years now, but I don't remember ever feeling the move of the Holy Ghost come into that meeting like we did Monday night. I knew then what kind of meeting was in store for us this week. And then last night, Brother Anthony Mangan's keynote message, all the messages today, the great messages that we've heard here tonight. Brother Wayne Huntley, thank you for letting God use you in this service tonight. Praise God. I appreciate Brother and Sister Anthony Mangan so very much in the way that God is using them. I hope you'll not misunderstand what I'm fixing to say, but I'm glad that we have somebody in the United Pentecostal Church that has an inroad to the president's office, somebody that's not afraid to witness, to pray for, to be a friend to our president of the United States. And while we're talking about witnessing to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, we ought to thank God we got somebody witnessing to the president. Can you say praise the Lord? I appreciate that so very much. Brother and Sister G.A. Mangan, what a great, great heroes they are to the church. Do you know that if the book of Acts was being written today in 1997, there would have to be chapters in there about Brother and Sister G.A. Mangan? There'd have to be. And I appreciate them so much. Give honor to Brother Tenney and Brother Kilgore, and of course to my uncle and my mentor, Brother Billy Cole. Don't you love Brother Cole? Hallelujah. Appreciate him so much. Get your Bibles. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, going to read one verse of Scripture. Every preacher in the house has preached on it, quoted it, used it in a message. I want to preach from the second part of this 32nd verse. While you're turning there, I want to say how much I appreciate my great wife that is here with me this year. She doesn't get to come to all the because of the times. We still have a daughter in school at home, but she made arrangements and is here. That is the prayingest lady you ever met in your lifetime. I was teasing some of these guys that preach 6 o'clock in the morning prayer. I said my wife was praying at 6 o'clock in the morning before you all started. She prayed at 6 o'clock in the morning while you prayed. And she's still praying at 6 o'clock in the morning while you quit. I got a praying wife, and I appreciate it. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The Bible said, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." Notice the second part of this verse. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." I don't have a sermon for you tonight. I believe I have a message from God. My message tonight is entering into the era of spiritual exploits. Entering into the era of spiritual exploits. Father, I feel your presence in this place. You have been here in such a powerful way tonight. I thank you, Lord, for all we've felt, all we've heard, for the faith that you've given to us, the deliverance, the healing that has already taken place here tonight. Now, Father, let your will be done, I pray. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time before you're seated. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Several weeks ago, I received a phone call from some of the fellows that are students at Gateway College of Evangelism there in St. Louis, Missouri. They talked to my secretary, and the request was, We want a little bit of Brother Cunningham's time. We want private time with him. We want to make an appointment either to go to lunch or come to his office, but we want to spend some time with Brother Cunningham. I was quite honored by that they would want to spend some time. Had no idea what they wanted to talk about, but was anxious to get the time with them. We made arrangements to meet for lunch, and when we got to where we were going to have the lunch, and after we'd actually had lunch together, I asked him, "What was it you wanted to talk to me about?" Some of these boys that will be finishing their school this year and going out into the ministry begin to ask me, "Brother Cunningham, what can we do to be effective in the ministry? What can we do to succeed in the ministry? We don't want to be failures. We don't want to go out on the field and become one of the casualties or one of those that just should have been or could have been. But we want to succeed in the kingdom of God." And I was supposing while they were talking that what they're looking for is perhaps me to talk to them a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, or maybe to talk to them about how much they ought to pray, or how many days they ought to fast, or how many hours of study they ought to put in every week. But I found myself, the words flowing from my heart and off my lips, because God was already dealing with me personally in this area. I told them that the most important thing that you can do is know God. Have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Separates the successes from the failures. You see, at the foundation of every successful ministry, you'll find a man or a woman who has a personal relationship with God. Behind every growing church, I promise you, is a pastor who has taught the members of that church how to develop a walk with God. You see, if we know Him, we're a success. If we don't know Him, I don't care how talented you are not a success if you don't know Him. Can you say praise the Lord? The basis of everything we do and are is knowing God. The cornerstone of an apostolic ministry is knowing God. The only way to be powerful in prayer is to have an intimate relationship with God. It can't just be words. It has to be relationship with Him. Can you say amen? Hear me tonight, everything we have, everything we are, and everything we ever hope to be rises and falls on a relationship with God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? The hunger and thirsting of every man and woman of God should be to know Him. And the Bible tells us, them that know their God, to them that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. The Apostle Paul, as an old man, cried out from the depth of his heart. He said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Why, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hold on, Paul. You preached 1,000, yeah, but I want to know Him. Come on, Paul, you're a great missionary. I know, but I want to know Him. Paul, you're an old man. You have many years in the ministry. I know, but I want to know Him better than I know Him now. Paul, you wrote 14 books of the New Testament. I know, but I want to know Him. We heard you went to the third heaven. I did, but I want to know Him. Can you say hallelujah? Younger preacher and older preachers alike, I challenge you tonight, don't ever take your relationship with God for granted. Did you hear me? Don't ever take your relationship with God for granted. I thank God for computers. I looked it up today on the computer. It says in your Bible, the phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's in the Bible 33 times. That phrase has been repeated countless millions of times since it was written originally. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every Jew today says it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I present to you tonight that they should have said. It was the original intention. It was the right way. It should have been said, the God of Abraham. Isaac and Esau. The Bible said that Esau despised his birthright. That wasn't just the inheritance of camels and cattle and oxen and lands and barns and houses. There was a spiritual birthright there. There was a relationship with God that was present. There was a spiritual experience that was involved in that birthright. And the Bible said Esau despised his birthright. That word despised means he to disesteem it, or to disdain it, to scorn it, or to consider it to be a thing that is worthless or of no value. Esau thought that spiritual heritage is of no value to me. That spiritual birthright doesn't mean anything to me. Relationship, he despised that place that he could have had with God. So today he's a could have been. Today he's a should have been. Instead of saying Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, we say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because it didn't mean enough to him. I challenge you tonight to know God, and don't ever take that relationship you have with God for granted. Hear me, United Pentecostal Church. We don't go through the motions in our church. I say that proudly. Forgive me for using the word proudly. But I say that with great pride in my heart. We're a people that love God. We're a people that want to know Him. We're a people that no matter how many nights of the week we go to church, we don't ever get tired of feeling His presence. We don't ever get tired of hearing His Word. We don't ever get tired of worshiping Him. We don't ever get tired of praying and talking to Him. Oh, I thank God that we're a people of relationship. Can you say praise the Lord? He said the people that do know their God shall be strong. Shall be strong. I want to set the record straight tonight in case you haven't already got it in this conference. You and I are a part of the greatest and most powerful, the strongest, if you please, church that God's ever had in the earth. You can look back to the book of Acts all you want to. You can look back to the good old days all you want to. You can look back to the Brush Arbor times if you want to. But honey, there's never been a better day to be an apostolic than the day we're in today. There's never been a time that this church has been any more powerful than it is right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. This church is enjoying the greatest move of God we've ever known. There's more healings today than ever before in history. More miracles, more dead being raised back to life. More blind eyes open, more people repenting of their sins. More people being water baptized. More people being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just in America, but around the world. Not just in Ethiopia, but right here in North America. God is pouring out His Spirit today upon all flesh. Clap your hands and holler hallelujah. This is our finest hour. This is the day that we've waited for so long. Hear me tonight. It's not coming down the road. It's not around the corner. It's not next year. It's not next decade. It's not next century. It's not even next millennium, honey. I'm here to tell you this is it. This is what we prayed for. This is what we shouted about. This is what we've exercised faith over. God is moving in His church today. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Got a message for the doomsday preachers. Whether you're here, I can't imagine any of you still being here, or whether you get a tape, but you hear this preacher well. This church that I'm a part of has never enjoyed a higher level of faith. There's never been more anticipation. There's never been a greater level of power among us. There's never been greater unity among us. There's never been greater spiritual strength or spiritual authority in the church than what is in the church today. Hear me, doomsdayer. This church is not losing its standard. This church is not compromising the doctrine. This church is not throwing holiness to the wind. This church is not shying away from the salvation message. We belong tonight to a church that's so much. Appreciate so very much what is being said about unity in our fellowship. We go to a lot of church growth seminars. I've taught in a lot of church growth seminars, more than 80 of them since I've been involved in home missions. I have yet to hear a single session at a church growth seminar on unity. But I want you to know tonight, let me set the record straight for you. Without unity, it is absolutely impossible to have a growing church. Without unity, it is impossible to have a growing section, to have a growing district, or to have a growing fellowship. Let's not take the unity among us for granted. It's what's making us strong as a church. One of the things that we felt in this conference, one of the things that has caused the presence of God to come in among us and to set upon us is the beautiful unity that is now among the people of God. We better protect it, honey, with everything we've got. Say hallelujah. So glad I belong to a united Pentecostal church. Hello? There's a few times we just have to say we're a part of the church. Some places we could say we're a part of the Pentecostal church. I'm glad tonight we can say this is the united Pentecostal church. Can you say praise the Lord? You see, when you study that early church, you understand that unity and togetherness was an indispensable factor in the growth of that early apostolic church. The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, that the believers were all, Brother Kilgore told us today, were all with one accord and in one place. If you read on down that same chapter, find the Apostle Peter's foundation message of the apostolic church. And he tells us that all that believed were together. Everybody said together. Say together. Togetherness is one of the most scriptural doctrines that we can preach. Hello? Tithing is mentioned in your Bible 24 times. Offerings mentioned in your Bible 265 times. Holy Ghost 90 times. Water baptism 100 times. Fasting 102 times. Prayer 114 times. But the phrase gathered together is in there 97 times. And the word together is in your Bible 484 times. I don't have time to tell you everything the Bible says about together, but the Bible has a lot to say about it. It says we ought to be gathered together. We ought to suffer together. We ought to sing together and go to war together. We ought to join together and be tempered together. We're pitched together and assembled together, and we dwell together and we're called together. We ought to meet together. We're knit together. We're wrapped together. We're in a league together. We sing together. We're purified together. We're congregated together. We take counsel together. We rest together. We're fashioned together. The Bible said we stick together, we're joyful together. We counsel together, we're consulted together. We're combated together, we live together. We reason together, we stand together, plead together, spring up together. We flow together, draw near together, bow down together. Feed together, cry together, brought together, walk together. Join together, set also together. Talk together, planted together, glorified together. Commune together, we're workers together. We're banded together, we're perfectly joined together. We're laborers together, framed together. We're built together, binded together, quickened together. We're heirs together. The Bible said we're elected together. The Scripture said we exalt His name together. He hath made us to sit together in heavenly places. Someday soon that trumpet's going to sound, and the Bible said we're going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. You hear me tonight? The bottom line is this. Everything we do, God wants us to do it together. Hello? God wants us to do it together. There's so much unity in this place tonight. But that unity doesn't mean that every one of us 3,000 plus people here all agree on everything exactly the same. That isn't what unity and togetherness is. Unity and togetherness is when we agree to worship Him together. When we agree to walk with Him together. When we're together on evangelism. When we're together in reaching the world. When we're together, it pleases God when we put aside things and come together. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? There's a spirit out there in the world that doesn't belong in the church. There's a spirit of division in the world. There's a spirit in the world where the black don't like the white. And the white and the black don't like the Spanish. And the Spanish don't like the Asian. And it's just dog eat dog. And the cultures and the races and the languages cannot come together. I've got news for you tonight, United Pentecostal Church. That stuff don't belong in here. You hear this preacher tonight? God doesn't have a black church. God doesn't have a white church. God doesn't have a Spanish church. God has a church. It's made up of every language, every creed, every color, every tongue, every nation. I don't care what they're doing out there. I don't care who don't like who. I don't care the names and the labels and the tags that they put on one another. When we walk in under those signs back there through the swinging door, when we come into this place, a black man, a Spanish man, an Asian man, a white man need to be able to sit out on the same row and worship the same God without anything in their heart, loving one another, concerned about reaching a world. Hallelujah! Say praise the Lord, somebody. I was driving along the road with my wife. Somebody, preacher was preaching on the radio. One of my favorite preachers back in Newport News, a pastor of a black church in our city. That it was a great church, and he was one of my favorite preachers. I'd drive 100 miles to hear him preach anytime I could. An awesome preacher. And he was dealing with all the racial problems that was going on there 3 or 4 years ago. And right in the middle of his preaching, he made the statement, if you can't get along down here, he said, how you going to get along over there? And when he said that in the car, my wife did what some of y'all just did. She hollered, that's right, honey. That's the way it is. I looked at her and said, baby, that is not right. We need to get back to the book. If you don't learn to get along down here, honey, you ain't going over there. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. The people that know their God because they know Him. That's where our strength comes from. Maybe I need to say that again. I said, that's where our strength comes from. Knowing Him. Them that know their God, because they know their God, they're going to be strong. And because they know God and they're strong, they're going to do exploits. Say hallelujah. I appreciated what Brother Huntley said. This is an age. This is the age of the unusual, the unprecedented. We're making history today. We're not just repeating history. We're making a new history. You hear what I'm fixing to tell you right now. You just heard a miraculous story of what God did in the nation of Pakistan. I believe with all of my heart, and everything I've said right now is just leading up to what's been burning in my heart for over a month. I believe with everything that's in me, that God is fixing to move this church in 1997 into a new era, into a new level, into a new area of the spirit realm that we've never been in before. I believe that God is fixing to move us into the arena of spiritual exploits. God's fixing to do things in our world that will boggle your mind. what you just heard about Pakistan. You just put your seatbelt on and hold on if you will. I don't care whether you like it or whether you don't. I've been pumped up so much in this meeting. I've got enough faith right now to run through a troop and leap over a wall. I've got my mind made up. If God can do it in Pakistan, if God can bring a government to a halt, if God can bring a ministry to a halt, I'm telling you He can do it in your city. I'm telling you God can do it for you. Hallelujah. The way I come to this thinking, I spent some time with the Lord over the holidays. I got back early from Christmas. We spend Christmas in Virginia. And we got back a little earlier than normal, a week or so before our board meetings began. I spent a lot of that time, just me and the Lord, in prayer. My wife and I missed some meals and tried to draw close to God at the first of the year. It was in that special time of prayer that God spoke to my heart that in 1997, God told me, in 1997, I'm going to open up doors for the church that they don't even imagine are possible now. God spoke to my heart that in 1997, we're going to see things that we've only dreamed about to this point. God spoke to my heart that in 1997, there's going to be walls brought down. There's going to be chains broken. There's going to be great victory for the church. Time for spiritual exploits. It's time for you and I to go back to our towns and believe that God's going to do things for us today like we've never seen or heard of before. It's time for us to return to our cities and for us to believe that God is able to give us the city. Say hallelujah. I was walking in tonight and a man handed me a piece of paper, told me a couple little items and said, please don't use my name. He said, but I'm asking you to pray. He said, would you please pray, Brother Cunningham? He said, because of an inheritance in our town that I assume the local church has been named in the inheritance. He said, there are several millions of dollars that have been left to the church. And he said, the man that left it even owns a Learjet and everything he had is gone to the church. That man sitting in this room right now, he said, there's millions of dollars here. We've been dealing with it for 9 months. He said, it's been contested. It's gone through all different kinds of situations. And he said, this week the judge is supposed to sign the last paper. And when the judge signs the last paper, it's all going to go to the United Pentecostal Church. He said, it's going to help foreign missions and home missions and spreading the gospel and moving the gospel around the world. You say, Brother Cunningham, that's far out. No, it's time for the church, honey, to move into the era of spiritual exploits. Brother Kilgore told it today. He gave money to missions. And he said one man come up and gave him $1 million offering on their building. And now there's a second one thinking about giving. I believe Brother Kilgore's going to come through. I believe God's going to give you the miracle. Why don't you reach over and take the hand of the person beside you. And I want you to pray this. God, I believe you for great things this year. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 My God! In the name of Jesus. I challenge every man and woman of God here. It's time for us to get up out of the mouldy grubs. It's time for us to lay down our unbelief. It's time to lay down that negative, defeatist attitude. It's time to quit thinking it happens to everybody else and it's never going to happen to me. I challenge you tonight to get a hold of God in faith. Plug into what's happening in 1997 because of the times. God didn't just ordain you to come here to be preached to. God didn't just bring you here to hear a choir. I am convinced that God brought the United Pentecostal Church together to change us, to send us in a new direction. My God. My God. I appreciated Brother Terry Black's message so much today. What a powerful message that was. Thank you, Brother Black, for telling us who we are. Thank you for reminding us again that we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Thank you for reminding us again that we are the bride of Christ. We are the church, an apostolic church in the earth today. Oh, I'm glad I'm a part of the church. For too many years now, we've had people in this church. I'm not preaching to people in other churches right now. I'm preaching to us. We've had too many children of God, too many preachers' wives that are depressed and oppressed by evil spirits. And they're learning to live under that cloud of depression and oppression, not understanding or not reaching for or believing God for deliverance from those things that have plagued them. Too many children of God sick and diseased in their body and learning to live in that condition. Too many children of God doing without the things that are necessary for life and happiness, and they're learning to live in that condition. Too many children of God that the power of God is not operating in their life any longer, and they're learning to live that way. Too many children of God that have lost the joy of the Lord. They used to shout, they used to run, they used to jump, they used to dance, they used to be the first ones on their feet. But now the joy's gone and they're learning to live that way. Too many children of God living in constant fear. Too many children of God defeated in their walk with God. They just can't have faith that they're ever going to rise above present problems or situations. Thank you, Brother Huntley, for that message of deliverance, for that message of victory. I pray tonight that somebody will latch hold of the Word of God. I pray that somebody will get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm praying tonight that somebody will make their mind up that when I leave because of the times, I'm leaving here to do exploits. I'm not going home the way I came. Say hallelujah. We've had such a hold the fort mentality for so long. Hello? Forgive my... I hope this isn't disrespect, but I hate that song with a purple passion. I told my song leader, you ever sing Hold the Fort again in my church, I'm going to take you by the nap of the neck and the seat of the britches and toss you out of here. Brother Mangan said, tear it out of the book. Every time I sing that song, I get the picture of two or three little old saints of God huddled up over in the corner, just shaking the fire out of themselves. Oh God, you better hurry back and get us, or there isn't going to be anything here to get. The devil's beating the life out of us. Honey, maybe that's the kind of church you belong to, but that's not the kind of church I belong to. Our church is not a whip church. This is not a yellow belly church. This is not a jellyfish spine church. This isn't a church the devil can push around at leisure. Tell you, when Brother Huntley got to kicking the devil around tonight, I got so excited because I'd planned on kicking him around myself a little bit tonight. I think it's good when we come together that we remind ourselves who we are and we remind him again who he is. Somebody say hallelujah. Forgive me if you don't like it. I grew up around Billy Cole. I remember when I was a little kid, like to scare me to death. He walked out in the pulpit and said, I am not afraid of the devil. He said, but the devil is scared to death of me. You know what, honey? I believed him as a kid, and I still believe it today. I belong to a powerful church. Do you believe what the book says? That old book said, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it, my church. I heard one old country preacher just a few months ago. He was in the pulpit preaching. He said, I'm glad I'm part of a church where God is glorified, the bride is edified, and the devil is terrified. I heard a fellow not too long ago. I was sitting out in the audience trying to be a good listener. And I heard this fellow up telling everybody the devil comes to every service. The devil's in here right now. The devil was here before you got here. Devil's been hindering this whole service. Devil doing this and devil doing that. I was waiting for him to say, praise his holy name. If you don't like what I'm fixing to say, blame it on Billy Cole. But I'm here to tell you, sweetheart, if you think there's a devil within a mile of this church tonight, you're nuts! Hallelujah! You listen to this big old fat preacher. When the first song leader or musician got here tonight, the first member of the choir, the first prayer warrior, when they walked in this door, there may have been a few old spirits around. They might have been trying to anoint the pews like some of you do before we get here. I don't know what they do, putting crosses on stuff or something. But I'm here to tell you, when we walked in, the first person that hit a note, the first person that said, thank you, Jesus, the first person that whispered a prayer, that old devil looked for the exit. You think the devil's going to have his way in here while that choir's singing? You think the devil's going to have his way in here while Wayne Huntley was preaching? Do you think the devil's going to have his way in here while you're clapping your hands saying, I love you, Jesus? I got news for you, sweetheart. This is one church in town he don't want to come to. Quit telling your people that kind of mess. I don't know if the devil has a birthday party or not. But if he has a birthday party in hell and they bring in the cake with the candles on it and say, make a wish, Lucifer, do you know what his wish is? I am convinced that his wish every year is, I wish I was as powerful as some United Pentecostal church people think I am. If he could do everything you and I think he can do, if he could do everything you and I claim he does, he'd be one happy camper. But I'm here to tell you tonight, sweetheart, he can't do it. He don't have influence over your life. He don't have influence over your marriage. He does not have influence over your finances. He does not have influence over you. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Some of you believe it, some don't. Brother Huntley gave you a revelation tonight. Can you handle two revelations in one night? How many of you can handle revelation? My revelation's really deep. It's really deep. Are you ready? Here's the revelation I got for you. If the devil could kill you, you'd be dead. Hold on. If the devil could make us have a car wreck, there'd be the biggest pileup right out here at the end of Rapides Drive you ever seen in your life, honey. He didn't want you to come here tonight. He didn't want you to hear what you've heard. He doesn't want you to worship God. But I'm here to tell you, He can't stop you. The Bible said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Them that know their God shall be strong, and they're going to do exploits. I got a feeling, Brother Tenney. About 3 or 4 years ago, we moved into a new dimension. A couple years ago with Pentecost Sunday, there was a unity and a faith that moved in among us. Ethiopia, Papua New Guinea brought a renewed faith to the church. But I got a feeling, sweetheart, that we're standing right on the tip edge of moving into another dimension. I got a feeling we're fixing to move into some areas of the Spirit that we've never been in before. God wants you to leave here different than you came. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Take somebody's hand beside you. Close your eyes. I've said all I need to say. It's time for the Holy Ghost to turn some of our hearts inside out. It's time for the Holy Ghost to baptize our minds again. It's time for the Holy Ghost to touch our hearts again with faith and belief to receive what God is doing in the world today. Them that know their God is going to be strong. Them that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Them that know their God. Them that have been to because of the times and got closer to God and got stronger are going to go home and do exploits for the kingdom. Brother Billy Cole just told Brother Kilgore and I, we're planning the Houston Summit meeting again for this fall. We just had a planning meeting 2 weeks ago. And Brother Billy Cole just challenged us. He said we could have 3,000 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost this year in Houston, right here in the United States of America. That's what I'm preaching about, honey! The city that care for God. Is that right? New Orleans. We've already rented the building. Seats 5,000 people, Brother Anthony. We've already got the building. Already paid the bill. Date's already set. We need all of Louisiana to come and help us. We want to see God do in the city of New Orleans. I was telling somebody about New Orleans and what we were going to do there. And they said, Brother Cunningham, don't you know that that's Satan's seat? Don't you know that that's where Satan lives? That's the center of his little setup here in the South. I'm here to tell you. In fact, let me not tell you. I'm going to serve notice on the devil. Hear me tonight. We're fixing to do some exercise. exploits in the city of New Orleans. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise both your hands to heaven. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to muster up all the faith you can get a hold of. And I want you to begin to command it in the Holy Ghost. I want you to command victory. I want you to command revival. I want you to command an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Houston, Texas for 3,000. In the city of New Orleans for at least 500. We ought to see 1,000 there. Don't ask it. Command it. By the authority of the Word of God, by the power that's in the name of Jesus, I command an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the city of New Orleans like we've never seen before. I command an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the city of Houston. 3,000 souls in Jesus' name. While you've got your hands up and while you're praying, I want you to begin to call out the name of your city right now. I want you to call it out. I'm coming home. I'm coming home to do exploits. I'm coming home different. Hear me, Cincinnati. Hear me, Philadelphia. Hear me, Cleveland. Hear me, Charleston. I'm coming home different. Do you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost? Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. In the book of Jude it says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Walls are coming down. I said walls are coming down. Chains are being broken. I want you to join hands with a person beside you all over this building. I don't think there's anybody that could ever doubt or question the beautiful unity, Brother Kilgore, that's in this conference right here. There is a unity in this place. And the Bible said, where any two or three of you agree as touching one thing, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now there's 3,000 of us here tonight. And we're joining hands across this building. And we're together. We have one focus. We have one goal, one dream, one desire. It's the evangelization of our world. It's revival to sweep around our world. I want Elder G.A. Mangan to step out here. I want him to take this mic, hold on to the hand of the person beside you. I want you to intercede in the Holy Ghost while this prophet of God comes out here and prays for worldwide revival. Brother Schism, step out here behind us. Come right on out here, Brother Schism. In the name of Jesus, pray for us, Bishop.
Thou hast given us authority and power over every demon, scorpion, and devil, and all the power of the enemy is ours. I accept it. Send many legions of angels to every community, to every city, to every nation. They belong to us. Devils are loose, but God, you've got angels, millions of angels. Billions of angels, you're going to send it out with that power and that authority you've given us. We accept it. We believe it. We're going to exercise it. Power and authority over scorpions, demons, devils, and all the power of the enemy. Give us every honest-hearted man, woman, and child in the entire world, wherever they are, put a hedge about them. Spare them. Keep them to our administration. Reach them. It belongs to us. And we accept it. We're the church. We're the bride. We're the regent. We belong to you. We belong to your dreams. We belong to your visions. We belong to it. We're going to do it. We're going to accept that authority, that power, in the name of Jesus Christ. Ecoshi Kanarita Padara Yendo Kiak Sangadori Panayatu Shakata Yendara Yorakori Sarvarita Yanda Shakata Surinda Burba Yeo Kataino Shaki Otuba Kadara Shakata Yina Paratai Yolo Hey Kata Shukabado Ki Abati Sada Kata Shabari Shakayana.